And that video is based on a true story. And Donna and I do all our own stunts as well. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Pamela and Luke, for inviting us here this week. We love coming here. It's a great church. We have great friends here. And we just thank you for partnering with us. You know, it tends to be a cliche, but it's not, that we can't do what we're doing without churches like you, linking hands with us, partnering with us, and God is doing amazing things in the nation of China. And if there's one thing that living in China does for you, it gives you an appreciation of bigness. You know, the largest nation in the world, 1.4 billion people. In the city of Shanghai, they have the same population as the whole nation of Australia. Where we live, it's a provincial capital. It's really just a village on steroids. And it has a population of 8 million people. So you've seen these Chinese movies, these epic movies of great battle scenes of hundreds of years ago with casts of tens of thousands of people. Everything is big in China. And just to quantify that a little, over the last 3 years, China has used more concrete than the US used in the entire 20th century. So it's everything about China is big. The commerce, the development, expansion within the nation, everything is just accelerating. In fact, we know that the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but everything else is made in China. And it's taking over the world economically. But you know, the biggest thing about China that I find is the tremendous opportunities that God provides to do something for him. This is a great day for China, a day of opportunity, a day of great challenge. Yes, opposition. Yes, great challenges, but incredible, incredible opportunities. And we're so glad that we're able to serve God in this amazing, amazing nation. You know, in the kingdom of God, there is a sense that God wants us to live big lives. Amen? A sense that it's not always about the numbers or how much you have, but it's about a heart attitude, a desire to live expansively. And I love what Paul says to the Corinthians in chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13 in the MSG Bible. That's nothing to do with food additives. That's the Message version, okay? Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Amen. That was Paul's challenge to the Corinthians. And I believe it's his challenge to us today as well, that we would enter into that wide open, spacious living. Not be fenced in by limitations, because we serve an unlimited God. And he wants us to live free of the limitations that people will put on you. But more often than not, we put on ourselves, don't we? We live a life of limitation. Too often we put a cap on what God wants to do in our lives. And we say things like, I can't do it. I don't have the ability. I don't have the confidence. I don't have the experience. Well, here's something. You know how you get experience? By doing it. Then you've got the experience. There was a very wealthy businessman being interviewed by a journalist. And the journalist asked this question, how did you become so wealthy and successful? He said, two words, good decisions. And the journo said, then, but how did you know how to make these good decisions? He said, one word, experience. So the journalist said, well, how did you get the experience to know how to make the good decisions? He said, two words, bad decisions. So it's not what you go through, it's how you go through it. It's not what thing, not about what happens to you. It's how you respond to what happens to you. Yeah, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall. We're all going to fail. But we get up. We keep going. We learn from what happened. Otherwise, we're destined to repeat that same mistake. But you know, it's the time for us to decide to live expansively is not when everything is going well. Yeah, it's good to do that when everything's going well, but the real time to live expansively is in the tough times. That's when the challenges come. And so when the troubles of life look you in the face, look back at them and say something like this: I'll take the large life, please. I'll take the upgrade. I'll take the family size. I want to live big. I want to live large. I want to live expansively. Amen? Because God's plans are always so much bigger than our plans. The vision is always bigger than the visionary. The dream is always bigger than the dreamer. Because God's ways are so much higher above what we can ask, what we can think. So my challenge to myself and you today is that we would make a decision. I'm going to live expansively. I'm not going to be fenced in. I'm not going to live with the limitations that other people and myself and the devil try to put on myself. I want to take the cap off that. I want to raise the bar. I want to say, God, I want to be all, do all that you destined me to do. Nothing less. Amen? You see, when God, Donna mentioned before, God tapped us on the shoulder about youth concerts. And yeah, we're not so young anymore, and we're definitely not musical as well. In fact, someone said to me the other day, Ross, you have a prison voice. I said, please explain. They said, well, you know, you can never find the key, and you're always behind a few bars. I thought that was harsh. It's true, but very harsh, you know. We love your music here, by the way. It was wonderful. Bless you. But yeah, we did not have the ability, we did not have the experience, but we thought no one else is doing it and it's got to happen. These young people in China have to be reached. They're the culture shapers. They're the future architects of China. And so when we stepped out, God started to do amazing things. It wasn't about what we could do. It's about what we could facilitate. And you know, over the last 5-6 years, we've seen over 30,000 young people attend our concerts. Hundreds of people come to Christ. And many of them in leadership positions in churches right now. It's amazing as we just go around from city to city and bump into people we never knew. I got saved in your concert. I got saved during that youth concert in this city, that city. And so it's just amazing what God is doing. So it's not about what we can do by ourselves. It's all about living expansively together. No one can fully live expansively in the way that Paul teaches by ourselves. We can do so much by ourselves, but so much more when we do life together. So this synergistic relationship with other believers brings out the best in us. Amen? And the Bible speaks about biblical economy. One person can defeat 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So it's not addition when we partner, it's actually multiplication. In Europe, they have these competitions every year, and they have these huge, big draft horses, Belgian draft horses, the biggest horses in the world. And the competition is to see how much weight they can pull. One of these horses can pull 3.5 ton. You join two horses together that have not worked together before, they can pull 10 ton. But if you join two horses together, harness them together, that were raised together, worked together, trained together, they can pull 15 ton. That's the power of synergy. It's not addition, but it's actually multiplication. Not just when we work together, but when we work together in partnership, God can do incredible, amazing things. So there's a natural law of synergy. There's a spiritual law that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So synergy is just a fancy word, really, for we're better together. Amen? We can do so much more when we do it together. And to me, missions is all about partnerships. It's all about doing the work of the Lord together. But it's not just about doing more. As we serve together, work together, we actually become bigger people personally. We become better people. It's not always about the numbers. You know, Mark Zuckerberg, anyone know who he is? He's the CEO and founder of Facebook. Anyone checked Facebook this morning before your devotions? Shame on you. Maybe that is your devotions, I'm not sure. So Mark Zuckerberg has 57,922,542 followers. Jesus had 12. It's not always about the numbers. A small group of dedicated people can make a huge difference. In fact, can change the world. It's not always about, oh, we need the church to be this size or our team to be this size. Synergy multiplies, hallelujah, and we can do great things together. Someone asked me recently, they said, as a church, what's the greatest thing that we can do for you as a missionary? And I thought of that, and a few ideas came to mind. Monthly support? No. Sending a team over? No. Sending emails and a care package? No. Prayer? No. The greatest thing that a church can do for a missionary on the field is to have a kingdom perspective, to have a global vision. Why? Because when that happens, all of this other stuff I mentioned just becomes organic. It just becomes a natural flow from a kingdom value. But when we say, oh, we should pray for the missionary, and I guess, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to send, so I guess we should support, and yeah, we'll give this money, and we should pray for them. We don't really like those missionaries, but yeah, we probably should pray. Bible says pray, so we'll pray for them. They've got their picture on the fridge, and yeah. So that becomes duty, responsibility, which is a good thing to have, good values to have, but that can wear very thin unless it flows from relationship. So once we, talking missionaries, church, together have kingdom perspective, then we tap into the unlimited power of God to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Many churches that I've been in, tend to get stuck in a church mentality instead of a kingdom mentality. You see, the church is not an end in itself. It's the vehicle that God uses to reach the world. The church is the centerpiece of God's kingdom. But it's not an end in itself. It's a vehicle God wants to use. I love what Howard Snyder says. Church people think about how to get people into the church. Kingdom people think about how to get the church into the world. Church people worry that the world might change the church. Kingdom people work to see the church change the world. That's kingdom thinking. And you know, living expansively is not about how much you have or how much you don't have. We have a lady that works with us, an elderly lady. I say elderly, she's probably about 2 years older than me. So she's really old. And she's a lovely old lady. Her name is Jong Ai. And she, you know, she cleans our facility. And when we do leadership training, she makes the meals and just does anything that needs to be done. Lovely lady. And about 2 years ago, have you heard about the One Day Change the World offering? ACCI encourage every church, every believer to be involved in this offering. So once a year, every member of every church is encouraged to take the equivalent of 1 day's salary, 1 day's wages, and put in this offering that will go to projects, mission projects around the world. So I said to our team, you know, we are actually beneficiaries for many of these project funds. So we should also have buy-in here. We need to be involved. So let's join the one-day offering. We'll take the equivalent of 1 day's salary, and we'll all put that in the offering. They all thought that was a great idea. And Zhong Ai, she came and she put her offering in. And I was like Jesus at the temple watching people put the money in. And she was like the widow that put in the two mites. But she put her funds in. And I said, Zhong Ai, you've put in the equivalent of 3 weeks' salary. What don't you understand about one day? We're just asking for one day. She said, I don't care. That's what I want to give. And she doesn't have very much at all. But she has a big heart and a desire to live expansively. So don't wait till you have this amount, because living expansively is not about how much you have, the bottom line in your bank account. It's about heart attitude. And I'm not just talking finances here. I'm just talking about living a life of expansion, that we become bigger people, not limited to our thoughts, our imagination, or what other people place upon us. Another thing about synergy is that, you know, Donna mentioned many of the very diverse ministries that we're involved in. And I just love it when some of these ministries, which are so divergent, actually converge to touch one life. Example of this, where we live in our neighborhood, sometimes I go for a walk around, and I frequently met this young guy. He's about 30. His name was Ben, young Chinese guy. And we'll just say hi, how are you? No deep and meaningful, just kind of greeting as we passed along the street. And I remember one day walking around a neighborhood, and I saw outside this apartment something that was truly amazing, that made me believe truly that there is a God in China. You want to know what I saw? It was a Victory motorcycle. Now, if you know anything about motorcycles, a Victory motorcycle is like a Harley Davidson, this huge muscle bike, 106 cubic inch, amazing looking motorcycle. And I love motorcycles. You're kind of getting that by now, right? And in my city, the biggest bike is about a 125cc. But this is a big, nice-looking bike. So I thought, well, I've got to meet the guy who owns this bike. So I knocked on the door, no one home. A few days later, I'm walking around again. The bike's there, knock on the door, no one home. Just about to walk away, and a beautiful, new, black, shiny Mercedes-Benz pulls up. And Ben gets out. I said, Ben, this is where you live. Is that your bike? He says, yeah, that's mine. So we started talking bike talk, and where did you get it? It cost him about $40,000 with import duties and everything. So a serious bike. And right then I decided Ben is going to be my new best friend. So just like David and Jonathan. And I talked him into giving me a ride on his bike, so it was all good. So anyway, we became friends, and he asked me one day, he said, Ross, what do you do in China? Now, this is always a question you have to really think about before you answer, because you don't know who's asking the question or what the motivation behind it is. So I gave the safe answer, and I said, we help poor people. We're helping in this slum area, families and children, doing what we can to make a difference. He said, oh, I'd like to come and have a look at your center one day. I said, sure, you're very welcome. So a few days later, we arranged for Ben to come to my place, and then we would go to the Future Hope Community Center. He pulled up in a gold metal flake BMW SUV. He said, hop in. I said, no, I don't think so. I said, we'll go in my car. You know, the road to this place is really, you know, quite crummy, and go in my car is better. So we're on the way, and Ben gets a phone call from his wife. He says, Ben, where are you? He says, oh, I'm just going to the community center with Ross. And his wife said, oh, I'd like to go and see that too. My mother is with me now. Can we go as well? He asked me. I said, sure, no problem. So we pulled over, waited for them to catch up. And so Ben's wife pulls up in a purple Maserati. It's just getting better, isn't it? And Ben's wife said, oh, I'll follow you. I said, no. You leave your car here, we'll all go in mine. So anyway, we went to the community center. They had a look at, saw what we were doing in the center, visited some of the very poor families that we were helping, and they were just blown away. They were just shocked that people could live in these conditions just literally a few kilometers from where they were living. And they were so impacted, and they donated over 200 beautiful books to our Future Hope Library. Every time we had an open community day, they would be there handing out drinks and snacks and food for the kids. And they were just impacted because they saw someone doing something for the disenfranchised, the needy, those that couldn't help themselves. And as I was thinking about that, I remembered a story. When I first arrived for my first year of mission work, which was in 1983, so I've been a missionary for 34 years now, still waiting for the gold watch, but that's all right. Anyway, the first year, 1983, I was walking through the slums of Bangkok with an old pioneer missionary. His name was Werner Rasana, the first Pentecostal missionary to Thailand. And we're walking through the slum area, and he said something to me. He said, "Ross, you know, when you help the poor, the rich take notice." I didn't even understand what that meant at that time. But I certainly did when I had that experience and that relationship with Ben. They were very obviously very wealthy people and a little bit self-absorbed, as sometimes wealthy people can be, but they still had a heart to want to help. But they see situations, they feel sympathy, but they don't know what to do. They don't know how to help. But when they see someone else helping, they want to help. So a few weeks after that, I invited Ben and his family to come to one of our youth concerts. We had an Aussie band over at that time. So Ben came over to the concert, his wife and young son. They attended the concert, which was amazing, and I preached a short gospel message at the end. And they were greatly impacted by the Spirit of God, the atmosphere of what God was doing in that place. A few weeks after that, I was preaching at an underground church, and I invited Ben along to it. So he came along with two of his friends who were both teachers. And as I preached the gospel and gave the appeal, Ben, his two friends, raised their hands to receive Jesus Christ. And Ben is just a changed man. He attends a church regularly. He goes to small groups. He's just wants to be baptized now. His life has just totally changed. It's not that he didn't have anything before, but what he did lack was a sense of purpose. A sense of living expansively, not just within his means, but something far greater that God has for him. You see, I talked about synergy. Here we've got this. You don't get two more divergent ministries than helping the poor in the slum and wild youth concerts. They don't really, you know, there's no connection there at all. But here we saw the ministry in the slum area, Future Hope, impacted them, opened the door, opened their heart's door. Then the concerts opened them a little bit more. Then local church, more. And then the Holy Spirit just started working. For many people in China, conversion is more a journey of steps and steps until they make that big step. I guess it's not so different here, is it? But it's amazing what God can do when you step out and start doing something, and people recognize they need to have that sense of purpose. You know, you can have everything in life and still live a very small life. Or you can have absolutely nothing but live expansively. Because it's not about what you have. It's not about what you don't have. So here's the question. What determines how large you live life? And the answer is your understanding of God. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. He prayed that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding would be opened. They would see how great God is, how great his power is, how great his majesty is, that we have access to. So often we're blinded to the fact that God can do anything. With man, things are impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. Amen. So Paul prayed that prayer for the Ephesians 2,000 years ago. That prayer is still having impact today, right now, in our lives, that our eyes would be open so we can see how big, how great, how wonderful our God is. Jesus asks us to pray, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So think about that for a moment. God wants us to live a life by the values that are in heaven. Let them come to earth and be lived out through our life. That doesn't sound like mediocrity to me. That doesn't sound like business as usual to me. That doesn't sound like the same old thing to me. That sounds like God wants to do something new. That God wants to lift the lid off our understanding of our capacity and our potential and live a life that is large and amazing and expansive. So let's not fence ourselves in. Like Paul says, the smallness you feel comes from within you. The lives that you live aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. Is that the desire of your heart? That we have live with that great sense of purpose, live to fulfill God's call upon our life. Now, I don't believe that every Christian is called to be a cross-cultural witness or an overseas missionary. But I do believe that every believer is called to be part of the mission, to bring closure to the Great Commission. That's what the church is for, right? That's why we're still here and haven't been taken away to heaven, that we can have an impact here, firstly, but through the nations. And I'm so excited that this church is lifting the lid off. And there's great, amazing things that you guys are doing that are making an incredible difference around the world. So God bless you. Live large. Live expansive. Can we pray? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you this morning, but I just want to ask, has God spoken to you this morning about something? Maybe someone has asked you to do something. Maybe your pastor has said, "Can you do this ministry? Can you be involved in this?" But there's been a hesitation. You think, "I can't do it, not good enough, not worthy, not experienced, not equipped, don't have the ability, don't have the talents." And a lot of this just comes from us, the default that we have to live a small life. Whereas God wants to challenge us to take the lid off and say, "Yes, I'm going to do that. I really don't feel capable of doing it, but I'm going to step out and see what God can do. See what God can do in my life, that He can increase my capacity, increase my gifts, develop through the experience that He gives me." Some of you are facing challenges and troubles, and these things are tending to fence you in, to bring you down in your thinking, bring you down in your desire to step out and serve God. Everything is pressing in around you, financially, emotionally, relationally. And I believe that God is saying to you this morning, don't be fenced in by these things. Make a decision and say, "I'll take the large size, please. I won't allow these things to hold me back, because I'm going to continue to make steps of faith." And I believe that He is Jehovah Jireh. I believe He is Jehovah Rapha. He's going to provide for me. He's going to heal me. He's going to do all that needs to be done, because He is an unlimited God. He has unlimited grace, unlimited resources, unlimited provision, unlimited help for you in your time of need. So if that's the cry of your heart, I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you this morning. If you want to say, "God, I want to live expansively. I don't want to be fenced in. I don't want to have a lid on my life. I want to step out and live in the purpose that You've called me to live," in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person that has their hand raised right now, Lord, that You will touch their lives, touch their hearts, touch their minds, Lord, that they will turn a corner right now into the expansiveness that You have for them. Greater than we can ask or think, hallelujah. To the limits of our imagination, to the limits of our prayer life, you can do far beyond that. And in Jesus' name, I just pray for an anointing right now, anointing that breaks the yoke to be upon every life, anointing for healing and wholeness, anointing for financial liberation from the things that tie you down and hold you down, freedom from the understanding of limitation in your life right now, that God would just expand that, that you'll realize He wants you to live a life of incredible purpose and to make a difference in this city, in this nation, and throughout the nations. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we declare, Lord, we want to live for You, not small, but large. We want to not be fenced in. We want to live a life that is wide, open, spacious, expansive, to be all that You've called us to be, nothing less. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you so much.